Good morning. On the eve of the Reformation Festival, we welcome you to our chapel service today here at Bethany. Please join me on page 167 with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 8th chapter, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Is Pluto a planet or a chunk of orbiting matter? In 1992, there were some new questions that were raised about whatever this is out there flying around in the universe. Today, it's listed as a dwarf planet. But here's the real question: does it really matter? Does it really change your life at all whether Pluto is a planet or not? There's a real truth about Pluto, but it really doesn't matter to you unless you're going to do some intergalactic travel this weekend. If you're at your doctor's office, however, and suddenly a report comes back about your health, and maybe someone at the office decides that they don't want to let you know what the truth of those results truly is, that would matter. There are times when knowing truth really doesn't matter at all. There are times when it matters a little bit in our lives, but then there are times when it really matters, when it absolutely matters. When our Lord Jesus addresses the subject of truth, he never does it in a wishy-washy way. When our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, addresses truth, he addresses it with the full understanding that this absolutely matters. In fact, it doesn't just matter for your life and death. It does. But it matters for your eternal life or death. So this certainly does matter. In order to possess real truth about God, about ourselves, about the world, about what's coming, in order to possess any truth about that with absolute certainty, God himself must provide it. There's maybe no better way to demonstrate man's inability to know spiritual truth about God than to look at all of the strange, bizarre, and weird ways that human beings have concocted through the centuries as to what happens to us after we die and how to get ready for that. In ancient Egypt, they would stick a nail between your teeth when they buried you to prop open your mouth enough so that your soul would be able to go in and out of your body as a house and a place to stay, to come back to. The Canaanites would bury people with food and drink all around them at their gravesite so that they would stay there at the gravesite, their souls would stay there at the gravesite and not come back and bother their relatives. In some corners of Buddhism, they believe that when you die, you cross over a bridge of forgetfulness that doesn't let you remember anything about your previous life, and you enter one of eight doors. And depending on how nice you were to people in this life, you get sent into different new lives, possibly as animals that are beaten or various levels on up the chain. So when it comes to truth about these things that really matter for us, going to happen to me after I die, God has to be the one to provide it to us, because man is all over the place. God doesn't want you and me to go through life kind of stumbling in the dark about what is going to happen to us, about our futures. And there is such a thing as truth. Jesus himself speaks of it here today. There is real truth about who you are. There is real truth about who God is. There is real truth about life, about what happens after this life. Real truth exists. It can be known. It can be found. You can possess it. You can have it. You can understand it. And this real truth has life-changing power. And so God has made sure to give us that truth through his holy word. Notice in the text before us, Jesus doesn't say, there's a good chance that if you read this book, you will find some truth, which is what some modern theologians want to say today. No, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. There's truth to be had, to be known, and you can find it, and you can have it, and you can possess it. Back in the 1800s, there was a theology student over in Germany by the name of C.F.W. Walther. He ended up coming here to the United States. And years later, he told his students when he was teaching in the seminary that some of his professors in Germany used to think it was arrogant if anybody claimed that they really knew the truth about God. And he talked about how sad that was. Is that what we want? Do we want a faith that's based on Jell-O? Do we want a faith that's based on wishy-washy possibilities and maybe when it comes to your death, your grave, and what's going to happen to you after this life? Is that what we want? Wishy-washy theology? Back in the 1950s, there was a doctor who discovered the cure, the vaccine for polio, Dr. Jonas Salk. And imagine if the day that he discovered that in his laboratory and realized what he now possessed and what this could do for humanity. Imagine if someone else in the laboratory that day said, "Now wait a minute, you think you understand the answer to this problem? You are so arrogant. Don't you dare go out and speak that to anybody." He knew he possessed it. He had the truth and the answer. He knew he had to go out and let people know. People's lives depended on it. It could potentially change life for many, many people. You see, if someone actually does possess divine truth from God about how to get to heaven, in other words, that it's not by ourselves, but it's only through what our Lord Jesus has done for us, through his death on the cross, making payment for every one of our sins, and that by faith in him we can be positive we're going to heaven. If someone actually has and possesses that truth from the Word of God, it will never help a single soul to back down. It will never help a single soul to wimp out and to back away from declaring it. No matter how small we are in the world, no matter how little our voice may seem out there in the world, in Christ, through him, by his work alone, we have the one great vaccine from God that cures sin, death, and the devil. We had better claim, "I have it, I know it, and we can possess it." No wonder the devil works so hard to keep us away from the Word of God. No wonder the devil works so hard and spends so much time inside of the church to try to cause heresies and divisions. No wonder the devil works so hard on my soul and my heart to try to move me away from listening to the Word of God. He's a great theologian. He knows what it has. He knows what it carries to us. He knows what that Word of God possesses for us. And the ultimate goal of knowing this truth is your emancipation from your grave someday. Jesus says it so simply, "The truth shall set you free." That's a pretty neat line. Think what that really means. The truth shall set you free. Jesus says about his word to his disciples, "The words that I give you, they are spirit and they are life." No wonder Martin Luther said, "Scripture has never erred. If that is not granted, what is it good for?" Back at the time of the Reformation, a few years after Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door of the castle church, in those early days, there were some men in a monastery over in Belgium that had started reading Luther's works about the gospel and had started reading scripture with a whole new set of eyes to see that it's only through Christ alone that we get to heaven. And somebody found out about it, and authorities came in and tried to shut this down. And they brought these men before a tribunal and a trial. And all of them, but finally two, backed down and recanted this new faith. But two of them boldly stood up, and because of that, were taken out into the capital city streets and burned at the stake because of believing in this supposedly new gospel. When the message of this reached Luther, he suddenly was struck with a little bit of timidity because he thought this cause and this reformation that's going out is really impacting people's lives. People are going to potentially die because of this. And he prayed and thought about it, but he realized, "I've got to go on. This really matters." Truth matters. And the truth that God has delivered to you and me through his word matters for us, for you personally, for your future. Hold on to it, possess it, and don't be afraid to declare that you have it. Amen. Please rise and join with me in the collect for the word that you will find on the bottom of page 58, the bottom of page 58 in the front part of your hymn book. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your great mercy, you have given us your holy and blessed word, by which you also among us gather your Christian church. We humbly entreat you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we receive your word with thankful hearts and live according to it, and ever increase in Christian faith and hope and love, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.